Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. It's a Thursday edition of the program, and boy, does Indiana have a challenge tonight. They are on the road in Iowa City at number 4-ranked Iowa, Luka Garza and company. Iowa can shoot it. They're playing really good basketball right now. I know we're not to February yet, but I think as soon as we get to the month of February and the bubble alert starts happening and we're wondering where Indiana, even Kentucky and other teams are going to be, are they going to make the tournament or not? I think the other discussion that starts then is potential number one seeds and Iowa already being mentioned in that category. And they seem to be playing their best basketball of the season. So tonight it's a late one. I know you'll try to stay up for it. 9 o'clock tip-off on Fox Sports 1. And, of course, Don Fisher, the legendary voice of the Hoosiers, has the radio call here on the Big X. But it's a big one. Every Big Ten game's a big one. But maybe I don't really know the right way to say it, but I don't have a lot of confidence that Indiana will find success in Iowa City tonight. I think this is a game where, with Indiana's schedule coming up, a very tough portion. It's all tough in the Big Ten, but this seems to be an especially tough portion of their schedule coming up. I think the best you can hope for, and maybe I'll be proven wrong tonight by Archie Miller and Trace Jackson Davis and company, but is for them to be strong and competitive, for them to be in the game. It's going to be a tough one to win on the road, and really any time you match up with a team, it's as good as Iowa. But we'll see what happens. That's why they play them. Tough one tonight for Indiana coming up, and we'll be previewing that game and more a lot in today's show. Let's look at the show lineup for today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one coming up here in just a few moments. We have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll dig into Iowa IU a little bit more. We'll look at some of the matchups. I think that it goes without saying, Garza, Bohannon, Wieskamp, those are the notable Iowa players. They've got other good ones, obviously, as well, but those are the three main threats, the ones that can do a lot, whether it's shoot it, whether it's like Garza inside out, he can do a little bit of everything, but we'll talk more about them. We'll also look at Victor Oladipo, how he's doing down in Houston to start his restart his NBA career there, I guess you could say. Georgia and Tom Crean, something about Tom Crean coach teams. They have a way with last-second shots over Kentucky because last night his Georgia team got a big win on basically a last-second shot. I think there was just over a tick left on the scoreboard when the reverse layup went in, but we'll talk about that and more today coming up in our opening segment. Later in the program, we'll be joined by Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Alex is always with us on Thursdays as we talk IU basketball. And on this game day, of course, we'll preview the IU-Iowa game tonight and talk about some of the storylines for this Indiana team heading into not just the Iowa game tonight, but really a tough part of their Big Ten schedule coming up over the next four, five, six games or so to get them into early to mid-February. And I know it's crazy, but we're going to be in February soon, and the bubble talk is already beginning to start. It's going to pick up a lot more once we get into the final month or so of the season, and we'll talk a little bit about that with Alex today when he joins us as well. And then later we'll close today with Steve Green, former IU player, played high school basketball at Silver Creek. He was the Dragons' all-time leading scorer until this past weekend when Trey Kaufman exploded for 35 points and overtook his record. And Mr. Green had a nice video message recorded for Trey Kaufman. They played at Silver Creek High School during the game. And we've had Steve on before. He's great to talk to. He's got lots of wonderful experiences with basketball in our state, whether it be at Silver Creek in his years there, playing for his father, playing in Sellersburg, or whether it be being Bob Knight's first recruit in Bloomington. And so we'll have him back today for a conversation, and that's always fun. He's one of the guys, honestly, that you could probably spend the entire show with. and still have plenty of exciting topics to bring up and things that I want to ask him that we just never get to. So appreciate his time today, and he's going to join us a little bit later in the hour. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, take them to go, and curbside service still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines for this Thursday, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Indiana looks to come back after a disappointing home loss to Purdue, 81-69. Not just the loss, I think, in that game that stings for Indiana fans, but also the way Indiana played and the way Indiana allowed what had been a mediocre shooting Purdue team to really dominate the three and have lots of three opportunities, and they made a lot of them as well because of Indiana's lackluster defense, I thought. Tonight, Iowa 12-2. They're a half game back in the Big Ten standings to Michigan at 6-1 in conference play, and this is a late game tonight, a 9 p.m. game on Fox Sports 1, and again, we'll have the radio broadcast here on the Big X. But really, you know, Indiana's in a slide right now. They've dropped two Big Ten games at home. They've got, no question, if you want to break down into four, five, six game segments, they've got the most difficult segment coming up of their Big Ten conference schedule. And none of the games are easy, but I think they clearly got their most difficult stretch coming up, starting with tonight's game. Four of their next five games, I read this morning on Inside the Hall, are against teams ranked in the top 10 of the KenPom ratings, and two of those games are on the road, and we know what playing on the road, even in a odd year without fans, it's just not the most friendliest environments to play in when you look at places like Iowa, when you look at places like Wisconsin and the Kohl Center, where Indiana just hasn't won at for years. But Indiana sits at 8-6. They're 3-4 in Big Ten play, and they're hovering there in the middle of the conference. A loss tonight, and depending on what else happens, what happened last night, tonight, in the next couple days, Indiana could find themselves with a loss tonight in the bottom part of the Big Ten Conference if you're splitting the conference into thirds. And so that's not where Indiana wants to be, with NCAA tournament hopes and a tough part of their schedule coming up, some road games coming up. You don't want to see yourself slide into that portion of the conference. But no question, when you look at Iowa, to give you a quick preview, Luca Garza, we all know about him, the reigning Big Ten Player of the Year. There's no question, in my opinion, he'll win that award again this season. And the thing with Garza is, you know, he's like Trace Jackson Davis, a big guy, a force down low, and Indiana can double team and throw different defenses at him. But unlike Trace Jackson Davis, Garza can really step out up top and knock down shots from the perimeter, including three-pointers as well. So you've got to really extend your defense against him. He's not strictly a low post or a player that's going to leak out onto the wing occasionally. He's going to come out and shoot the ball. There's no question about it. He's one of the best shooters on the Iowa team, in addition to Bohannon and Wieskamp. So he's their main threat. Everybody knows about him. Great player, dominant player. Going to be really interesting, I think, after this season to see what he does with an NBA career. No question he'll get drafted. I've heard some people say, we don't know what type of NBA player he'll be. We'll see. But he clearly has been a dominant player for Iowa and a dominant player in the Big Ten Conference these last few seasons as well. And then you've got to look at Iowa's shooting. There is no question they can shoot the ball, and there also is no question that it's not just a couple players that can shoot it for this team. They've got a number of players that are shooting well from behind the arc. The team is shooting a league-best 41.9% on threes through their first seven league games. And I tell you what, I read this today as well. Eight Hawkeye players have hit at least a half dozen threes. Four starters have hit at least 23 three-pointers on the season. And when you look at Indiana on the flip side of that, and let me say this, the four starters have also hit at least 40% of their attempts. Indiana has only one starter that comes anywhere close to that. That's Armon Franklin. So, again, this Iowa team, if you thought Purdue could shoot it, and they really weren't known to be a shooting team against Indiana's defense, watch out tonight against Iowa. Also, when you look at this Iowa team, Jordan Bohannon, I don't think Indiana fans need much of a reminder about who he is. He had some big threes at Bloomington in the regular season game last year, and then absolutely destroyed Indiana in the game at Iowa City, where I think he had three or four three-pointers in the overtime period alone to see Indiana fall to Iowa for the second time that year. That was last season. So those are two names that stand out. Obviously, Joe Wieskamp as well. He could be an NBA-type player, big shooter, can shoot it from long also. And there are other players. Don't forget Jack Nungy, who's got an Indiana connection, played at Castle High School, was a great player for the Knights. And that Castle team actually eliminated Romeo Langford in New Albany. Romeo's freshman year, I believe, at the Seymour Regional in the championship game that night. So definitely a good team, and I'm just naming off a few of their players. They really go seven or eight deep of players that if you look at their averages and you look at what they do, what they bring to the team, no question they are pretty good about it. So are pretty good players. There's no question about that. So, again, tonight a tough one. Hard to see Indiana leaving with a victory, but I think if you're an Indiana fan, you want to see this team compete. You want to see this team defend and step up their defense in this big game tonight and just see if they have an opportunity down the stretch to be close and to have a chance to maybe win the game. To me, that I know it's moral victories don't mean much, especially right now, but to me that would be a victory for Indiana with what's coming up in their Big Ten schedule. If you can go to Iowa and you can play it close and you can defend them reasonably well, you can win games in the Big Ten Conference. And we know this Indiana team can win some games, but can they win some of the big ones? And tonight on the road is definitely one of the toughest challenges that they've had so far. But again, tough challenges coming up on a pretty regular basis for this Indiana team. From a recruiting perspective, the crystal ball on 247 Sports was released yesterday for C.J. Gunn, a class of 2022 player from Lawrence North High School in Indianapolis. He's ranked number 101 in that class nationally. He's got Cincinnati, Kansas State, Missouri, Xavier, of course, Indiana. There are some other schools that have offered him as well, but I think those are the main schools he's considering. His announcement coming up the first week or so of February. That crystal ball yesterday from all three choosers, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, who's with us Tuesdays, he picks Indiana to be his destination. Brian Snow, who's the national recruiting analyst for 247 Sports and joins the show occasionally, he also picks Indiana. And then Jerry Meyer, another national recruiting guy, he picks Indiana to be the ultimate destination for C.J. Gunn. So people have told us on this show that Indiana could be in a good position for Gunn. It's good news, likely, that he's announcing his decision so early. He's already identified where he wants to go. And so we'll see if that ultimately holds true when he makes his announcement coming up. I believe it is February 7th when he will make his announcement. But it is coming up right around the corner. And I think for Indiana fans, they would like to see Indiana strike again in the Hoosier State and keep another talented player, a top 100 guy in that ballpark at least, in state after missing on Trey Kaufman and others here recently, it seems. A long list of players both in-state and out-of-state, especially in the 2021 class, that Indiana just didn't land. They just didn't work out. They've got one player in the class at this point, and that's all that's worked out so far for the Hoosiers. So we'll keep an eye on C.J. Gunn, but there are a lot of people out there that I think would be very surprised if ultimately he doesn't become an Indiana Hoosier coming up in the month of February. Victor Oladipo at Houston, been tracking what he's doing. He had 32 points in his first game for Houston and then 22 points last night as well for Houston in a loss to Phoenix. So he's getting, as you would expect, some big opportunities early down at Houston, and he's made the most of them so far with point totals of 32 and 22 points in his first two games. I mentioned that Tom Crean, something about his teams, and I'm being funny here, they have a way to defeat Kentucky on last-second shots. And last night, with about 1.2 seconds left, Georgia got a layup off an inbound play to take the lead 63-62 over Kentucky, and then Kentucky would get, I don't know if it was a half-court shot or three-quarter court shot at the buzzer. It really wasn't that good of a look, and it obviously didn't go in. Georgia wins, and Tom Crean's team gets to celebrate. It was a big home win for them, as they had a good non-conference part of their schedule but haven't done great so far in the SEC. The other thing from that game last night, and we've mentioned this a couple times, Indiana obviously probably going to be on the bubble again this year. It very likely could be a situation for Indiana where you watch game in, and game out and wonder what this Indiana team's chances are going to be like to make the big dance. And Kentucky, with its record in the conference especially, is beginning to see its back against the wall as well as far as the NCAA tournament goes. Kentucky has made the tournament every year except 2013. This would be the first time since 2013 that Kentucky would be on the bubble, maybe not have a chance to make the tournament. So interesting stuff going on at UK, just different from what we're used to with Calipari and the Wildcats. A couple other notes as well. High school basketball this weekend. We've talked about some of the big games. New Albany hosting Silver Creek is an interesting game on Friday. Silver Creek, a big favorite in that contest. But New Albany, with Stanton and Bivin, especially their two guards, when they score, when they're on, they can be competitive with most anybody that they're going to play. Silver Creek, obviously, with Kaufman and Jacoby and Northern and the other players, we know clearly know at this point, coming out of the weekend after a big win over 4A Bloomington North, why Silver Creek is ranked highly, why they're expected by many people to win another 3A state championship. But that's one of the big ones this weekend because it's a rivalry game. There are some other interesting contests as well. Jeff goes to Columbus East. East is not that good this season, but for Jeff, they just need to get some momentum and some wins back-to-back. And so that is a big game from that perspective for Andrew Grant's team. And then other games as well. New Albany goes on the road to Evansville Wrights, who won again last night, and is now 7-0 on the season. They've only played seven games, but Evansville Wrights off to a really good start so far this season. And we'll have the New Albany Silver Creek game Friday. We'll have New Albany at Evansville Wrights on Saturday night. Both of those games will be carried live here on the Big X Sports Radio. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. We'll head to a commercial break, and when we come back, we'll talk more IU Iowa and other IU basketball topics with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Stay with us for that. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Thursday edition of the program. Indiana at Iowa tonight, and Alex Bozich of InsideTheHall.com joins to talk about the Hoosiers and to preview this contest tonight. And Alex, we know Indiana is starting to get that same feeling the last few years, and really the last number of years, back against the wall as you start to look at what's ahead in the conference and what it's going to take to get this team eligible for the NCAA tournament. And tonight's one of those games where I know fans are always hopeful. Fans want to win every game. Fans expect great performances and great coaching all of the time. But this is just a tough one when you look at Iowa and Luka Garza and their shooting abilities and across the board as a team, what they bring to the table. It's going to be very tough for Indiana to go to Iowa City tonight and come up with a win. It would be just a major, major upset in my opinion.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Matt, that they're the best offensive team in the country. This is a game that you look at on paper and say it's going to be tough for Indiana to keep pace. Indiana's had its share of struggles offensively. Defense has not been great in Big Ten play, and Iowa is just basically steamrolling teams recently. I think they've won their last five games by an average of more than 15 points. It's not just Luka Garza. He's great. Don't get me wrong. He's the best player in the country, but you know, there's guys like Joe Wieskamp and Jordan Bohannon that they put around him on the perimeter. It just makes them so difficult to cover, and Garza is relentless in terms of how he attacks. And so it's a very tough matchup for any team, but an Indiana team right now that in many ways kind of looks vulnerable, kind of looks like they're kind of searching for answers based on how they played against Purdue. This is a tough spot. I mean, they've had a week off to prepare. We'll see how they respond, but this isn't a game that I don't think anybody can go into it expecting Indiana to win. There's no such thing as a moral victory, but this is a game where I think if they're able to to keep it close and give themselves a chance down the stretch, that would be a really best case scenario. I just don't see this as a great matchup right now for Indiana based on how they're playing defensively and just how potent Iowa is offensively. I think the Hoosiers could be in for a long night in Iowa City.
I think the number one thing that strikes me, and you've touched on this, is defensively, you know, Purdue, at least on paper in the stat column and looking at averages heading into the Indiana game, wasn't an unbelievably great shooting team, but Indiana kind of gave them opportunities to look pretty good. And to credit Purdue, they made the shots. But if Purdue looked like a great shooting team against Indiana and came out and really made a huge difference from the perimeter and including three-point shots with Iowa's proven ability to be, as you said, one of the best offensive teams in the country, and we know they've got three players and more that can shoot it, if Indiana's defense isn't the best we've seen this season, it could be ugly, I think.
Yeah, I mean, this is a situation where like Indiana could play a lot better defensively. They could actually come out and defend their best that they've done all season and still give up a lot of points. I mean, I was averaging, I think, over 85 a game. So this is, an instance where you can probably play pretty well and still get beat pretty soundly. That's just how good Iowa is offensively. The thing I'll say about the Hawkeyes, they are, you know, they've historically been vulnerable defensively, but it hasn't really mattered unless they're playing, you know, top-tier competition. They had that loss at Minnesota where I think they gave up 102. I think it was an overtime game, and they lost to Gonzaga, who's probably the best team in the country on the neutral court, but they still found a way to score a lot of points. So, you know, for Indiana, I think going into this game, if they're not going to be able to exploit some of Iowa's weaknesses, particularly guarding off the dribble and they're not the most athletic team. They're not great staying in front of teams. You never want to go into a game, you know, thinking that you're not going to get stops and you're just going to have to match a team point for point to be able to beat them. But the reality with this situation, I think, with Iowa is that Indiana's going to have to do something it hasn't really shown itself capable of doing very often, which is score, you know, up into the 80s to give themselves a chance to win. That just hasn't been the way that Indiana's won games this year. I know they've gotten to the 80s a couple of times. I think in Big Ten play, they had a game in the 80s against Penn State, and they needed overtime to get there. So it's Iowa to me right now, with Michigan probably the two best teams in the league in terms of how they're playing. I still have question marks long-term about Iowa being able to kind of make a deep, sustained run in the tournament just based on the fact that, you know, if they do have an off night offensively, they don't really have that stellar elite defense to fall back on that maybe some of the other teams at the top of the AP poll have. But, you know, Matt, you kind of said it. It could get ugly tonight.
Alex Bozich inside the hall, our guest. We're talking IU Iowa. It's a 9 o'clock tip off tonight in Iowa City. I want to talk a little more about Luka Garza. I think he's a terrific college player. I think it'd be interesting to see the transition from college to the NBA. Clearly, he'll be a draft pick. Clearly, he'll have opportunity in the NBA. But the thing that's so amazing about him and what makes him so potent, I think, for Iowa, is that he can score it in the low post. He's big, he's muscular, he can finish around the rim, but he also can step out up top, and he's a great shooter as well. He's got a lot of different abilities that he brings offensively that make him just a super talented player.
Yeah, I mean, he plays, you talk about guys giving 110%. I mean, he's, every minute he's out there, he's playing hard. He's not the most athletic guy. He's not the most talented guy, but you look at the progression that he's made as a player, where he came as a freshman into Iowa, where he is now. I mean, he's improved steadily. That's a credit to him as a player. We got to give some credit to Iowa's coaching staff too. I mean, they obviously saw something in this kid. They brought him in from the East Coast. I don't think he might have been fringe top 100 in terms of his rating, but he's improved steadily. And the shooting aspect, I think, is something he's probably always had since high school, but he's been allowed to showcase it. Iowa's always been a team that's really valued shooting and is recruiting maybe above anything else. And it's kind of worked against them at times because they haven't been a great defensive team. But Luka Garza, I mean, you know, you look at offensive players in college basketball right now. I mean, he's clearly head and shoulders the best. And because of many of the reasons you said, Matt. I mean, it's not just that he can score in the post. It's that he can step out. So, you know, even if you try to take certain things away from him, he's got a counter. I mean, he's added a ton of moves. He's one of the more versatile big guys in the country. Like I said, he's not a guy that's going to play and finish above the rim, but he just plays so hard, and he's such a smart, cerebral player that there's a reason I think he's got 5 or 6 games of 30 or more. He's averaging, I think, close to 27. I mean, think about that. Averaging 27 a game in college basketball in a 40-minute game, that's not easy to do. We'll see what happens in terms of his professional career. I think there's some questions in terms of how he translates to the NBA, but he's going to get a shot. I mean, you don't put up these type of numbers in college basketball and then not get a chance in the NBA. Somebody's going to look at him and say, we can use him, whether it's, you know, a guy off the bench to kind of give us offense or, you know, depth in the front court. I think he gets a shot. I don't know if he's going to be, a starter in the NBA or some guy that has a long career, but I mean, he's going to get a shot, and it's going to be well-deserved because he's worked hard and he deserves all the accolades that he's getting.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. And as much as we talk about Garza and the season he's had and how good he is for Iowa, it's probably a player named Jordan Bohannon that would strike Indiana fans' nerves the most. He was out last season with a hip injury. So I guess, was it 2 seasons ago where the game in Bloomington, he had a big shot or two, and then the game at Iowa was an overtime game where Indiana played really well that game, but he had like 3 or 4 threes in the overtime. And that 2 seasons ago, right?
Yeah, I think so. The Romeo year, yeah.
Yeah. And so he.
Yeah, Jordan Bohannon is a guy who is an elite shooter, and he was recruited to Iowa for that reason. He's older now. I think he's a 5th-year senior based on the fact that he was out last year with the hip surgery. He's battled some injuries, but he looks finally healthy this year. I'm happy for him that he's going to have this way of sending himself out of the game. I mean, you never want to see a guy get hurt and not be able to play. And Indiana fans are well aware, as you mentioned, with his clutch shot making. I mean, other than Arno DeSumo, I can't think of a guy that's currently in the Big Ten right now that's hit more big clutch shots than Jordan Bohannon. And, he's not the most athletic guy. He's probably not going to play in the NBA, but he's a good leader for this team. He knows his role. And with Joe Wieskamp around him and Luka Garza, there's a lot of times where defenses just can't give him the attention that he would probably deserve if he was on any other team. And that's really allowed him to kind of get openings and really be able to get some good looks. And he knocks him down. He's a player that I think is a lot of fun to watch. Indiana, you look at their roster, Indiana, you look at Iowa. I mean, they really need to recruit some more guys like C.J. Frederick and Jordan Bohannon and Joe Wieskamp, these knockdown shooters. It just hasn't happened under Archie Miller. And regardless of what you want to say about those guys defensively, they are capable of really impacting games with their shot-making ability. And Indiana really lacks some in this roster. So I think Indiana fans in a lot of ways look at those 3 players and say, we need to get a couple of those guys.
All right, Alex, to kind of summarize this conversation before we head to break, for Indiana to be in the game tonight, for Indiana to be in that last stretch of the second half and be close and competitive, they've got to shoot the ball better than what they did in the Purdue contest. I think that's obvious, and they have to defend at a much, much, much higher level tonight. That's the 2 main things, right, for this game?
Yeah, I mean, they could defend at a higher level and still get torched, which is a good possibility that Iowa's going to make shots regardless of what defense. I think Indiana is going to have to be smart about what it does offensively. They can't turn the ball over. They've got to try to get the ball inside. And, it's not like Iowa's got a bunch of shot blockers in the post. I mean, Garza's a big guy, but he's not intimidating or anything at the rim. I mean, he's a guy that you can get up and finish over. And Iowa's role, I think, weakness defensively is, they have a hard time staying in front of the ball. I mean, you can get around them and get shots at the rim. Indiana can't settle for 3. I mean, they're going to have to make some, obviously, to keep pace because Iowa's going to make their fair share. But, I think more than anything else, Matt, this comes down to whether or not Indiana can score enough to stay in the game. Because I just don't see – there's not a lot of examples that you look at and say, this team did this to Iowa and slowed them down offensively. That it just doesn't happen. I mean, even in their losses, I think, like, the Minnesota game, they scored 95. They lost – And I think that against Gonzaga game, they scored a ton of points in that and lost as well. I mean, the teams that have beaten them and found success against them have kept up with them offensively. And I think from an Indiana perspective, that's just tough really to see them doing that, because there's so many games this season where they have these long scoring droughts and go 4 or 5 minutes. You do that against Iowa one time and you could be down 12 or 15. It's not like playing Maryland or Penn State or some of these other teams that are challenged. I mean, Iowa's going to score. So Indiana is going to have to match that and then have to sustain their offense throughout the game, or I don't see a path really for them to win.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. You can read a full preview on what to expect tonight when Indiana goes to Iowa at the InsideTheHall.com website. Alex is always with us Thursdays on the program. And, Alex, thanks for the preview.
All right, thanks, Matt.
We'll head to a commercial break, come back with former IU player Steve Green. And, of course, he also is a former Silver Creek standout as well. And we've had him on before just to talk some memories, and we'll do some more of that today and also talk about kind of passing the torch to Trey Kaufman at Silver Creek. Trey became the all-time leading scorer at Silver Creek over the weekend, and Steve Green had a very nice recorded message that was played for him on the video board at the gym. But we'll head to a break. We'll come back with more. You're listening to a Thursday edition of the program, IU Iowa tonight at 9 o'clock on the program, on the station, I should say. We'll be back with more after this here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back. We've got the opportunity today to chat with Steve Green, a 1971 graduate of Silver Creek High School and then noted as Bob Knight's first recruit at Indiana University. He would go on to play for Indiana, played professionally for a number of years, including a period of time for the Indiana Pacers. And Steve, it's great to welcome you back to the program. Really enjoyed talking with you. I think it was right after Silver Creek State Championship back in 2019, and sad it's taken so long for us to get you back on with us.
Hey, man, how you doing today?
Doing great. I wanted to start today. I know we've talked about memories with you, and there's so many different directions we could go. I said earlier in the program we could probably make you the show for an hour and still have plenty of topics that fans would like to hear about and that we'd like to bring up. But you recently had a video message recorded, which I thought was very classy by you and also Silver Creek as well, to put the screen up. Trey Kaufman became Silver Creek's all-time leading scorer and passed the record that was previously set by you during your wonderful years in Sellersburg there at the high school. But talk about what you've seen from Trey Kaufman. I know you've been to some games. I know you have followed their tournament run a couple years ago. And to see him rise to the level that he has and ultimately pass you on the scoring list at your alma mater.
Well, Matt, certainly the coaches at Silver Creek have been wonderful to me and allowing me, and in fact, inviting me back. It's interesting that, you know, for years I didn't go back to Silver Creek, and it wasn't because I didn't want to. I just thought, hey, you move on. But Brandon has reached out over the years, and even before Trey got to, you know, play varsity basketball, I was, you know, back involved with Silver Creek some. And so it's been great to be able to watch Trey and Cooper and the rest of the guys in their four-year career achieve so much. And what a classy move by Silver Creek to ask me to do a video. And you know, it's one of those things. The old cliche, records are made to be broken. But, you know, after 50 years, you know, sometimes you say, somebody please break this record. And now we're going to have two guys, two of my favorite players of all time at Silver Creek, Trey and Cooper Jacoby. It's neat. It's neat for me to – I got to see him play as freshman, you know, at Bankers Life when – Romeo in New Albany played Silver Creek there, and I was able to sit with a couple of my buddies, and they were talking about these freshmen. And ironically, I looked at them. I said, "Oh, A, they're both great players, and B, I said, well, The only thing about it, they won't break my record because they'll have to share points for 4 years, I said, so it's pretty safe. And they just both banged through that, you know. So, but anyway, that couldn't happen to, you know, two finer guys. I mean, they're academically excellent and you know, and especially, you know, when we talk about Trey and what he's already accomplished and, you know, going on to Purdue to play for a good guy, you know, and Matt Painter. And let me tell you, bud, when I tell people, and I even, you know, talk to the IU coaches, of course, they were after Trey too. And I said, listen, I know the lineage. I know his history. And I said, you know, his grandma and grandpa, and this ages me really nice. They were 2 years behind me at Silver Creek, but they were both the best athletes at Silver Creek at that time. And Lou Ann, his grandma, I told Trey after they won the championship, he was at IU, you know, I think it was one of those Midnight Madness things, and he was there with his mom, and I looked him in the eye, and I said, Trey, you realize if your mother had been my point, I mean, your grandmother had been my point guard when I played my senior year, we would have won the state championship. So anyway, I don't know. I think it was kind of lost on him, but I she was really terrific. So anyway, love them both.
Steve Green is our guest, Dr. Steve Green, that is. Steve, I want to ask you, I'm glad you brought up Cooper Jacoby. You've been around basketball forever in so many different capacities, but what does it say about Silver Creek and where that program has risen to and where it's at right now to have two players surpass 1,000 points and two players to break your all-time scoring record held for many, many years in the same graduating class, not just on the same team where, oh, maybe they played together for a year or two, but in the same graduating class, that's really remarkable. I'm sure it's been done before in our state. I don't recall off the top of my head where it's been done by two players on the same team in the same class, but that right. To me is really a statement for Silver Creek basketball right now.
Well, there's no question, and well, I'll tell you one thing: it's never happened to me, but it did. You know, it's going to as soon as Coop, you know, gets another couple games. But it really, I go back to the head coach Brandon Hoffman, who schedules the right way. He schedules tough opponents. You know, he knows, hey, we want to be ready by tournament time. So he seeks it out. He saw the talent in those two young men at a young age. He's got a great feeder program. And got to remember, my father, that was the big thing he brought to Silver Creek when he came there back in the, you know, 58, 59, was to start a feeder program and start a Saturday morning league and that kind of thing. And Brandon really, really got that going and continues to do that. You got to put time in on that, but it pays huge dividends. You've got guys that know how to play and know how to play your way. And my hat's off to Brandon. What an excellent coach. And then, you know, the other thing, you've got to have team success. See, that's the thing that it's one thing if you know, it was a run and gun style program and, you know, one or two kids, you know, score a lot of points, but they don't win games. They don't win big games. They don't advance in the tournament, but you got to have, you know, to have really great teams and great success, you have both. And Silver Creek has done that. So it's with a great amount of pride that I sit back and can tell everybody, you know, that's my old high school there. Now, we were a little bit more of a country school back then. Things have changed, but what the heck. And it takes good guard play, too. You know, and I know, you know, they had excellent guard play, you know, when Trey and Cooper were freshmen and sophomores. They had great guard play again this year. You know, that would be the one thing. And when I half jokingly say Lou Ann would have won us a state championship, we, you know, this is no diss on the guards we had. It's just they weren't, you know, at the level that Silver Creek has had some guards here. And you've got to have guards in tournament play. You've got to have guards. If you got some, you know, some big dudes underneath the basket, it's nice to be able to, you know, have somebody to feed them. So they've had, you know, all the right ingredients, but hard work and long-term vision by the head coach always pays big dividends.
Former Silver Creek standout and IU standout as well, Steve Green is my guest. And I want to – we've talked to Coach Hoffman about this, and I think it's even come up in interviews with Cooper and Trey, but I want to pose this question hypothetically to you. Can you imagine – being at Silver Creek and with the high school career that you put together there, playing for your dad and getting to your junior year and being a contender, being ranked and hyped up in rankings and across the state as a contender for a state title to repeat after you had won one the year before. Can you imagine getting to the tournament, getting through a big season, having success, and then all of a sudden this virus comes into the country and you think, well, it's, you know, it may be some issues, but it won't affect us in Sellersburg. It won't affect our Silver Creek High School basketball team, surely. And all of a sudden, we go from lots of concerns with no crowd other than some immediate family to, hey, the state tournament this year is canceled, and here sits Silver Creek and other sectional champions as well across the state that just couldn't – there was nothing to continue on to with the tournament canceled. Can you imagine being a teenager and – dealing with that in your time? It's almost unthinkable, but it happened, and it happened to Silver Creek here locally.
Yeah, it devastating. I just, at the time, of course, rolling towards a second one, and not to put a jinx on anybody, but, you know, would have been the second of three in a row with you know, getting one this year, and COVID notwithstanding. But yeah, no. To me, I think back to, you know, when I was a 16, 17 year old kid. I mean, that's my life. And I, you know, if we've got the team that they had last year, we've got one thing on our mind. That's to repeat as state champions. And then, you know, it wasn't like my senior year at IU when we had Scott May break his arm. You know, that was bad enough that you lose a team member when you're favored to win, you know, a national championship. But, you know, I must admit I won't say it's similar, but I that pit in my stomach my senior year at IU, I'm sure, you know, everybody on the team, the coaches included, just the same kind of thing. What just happened? I mean, it is what just happened. This can't be happening. Not this year. No, not this way. So I don't have an answer for you other than, hey, you pick yourself up in sports, especially, and you look ahead, and they've done a wonderful job of that and focusing on this year.
Steve, I would like to get your thoughts, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but about Indiana's team this year. I know you stay in touch with the university and that you still support things in a very big way, and it's not only a tough year so far for Indiana and a tough game tonight that we've been previewing a lot during this program is Indiana at Iowa City tonight for a game against the Hawkeyes, but this Big Ten Conference as well is just unbelievably good this year. There's some really good players. The coaching is great across the board for the most part, and just teams, a number of ranked teams. I think you're going to see a record number potentially of Big Ten teams make the NCAA tournament. Just your general thoughts on the Hoosiers and maybe even talking about the Big Ten. I know the conference has changed some over the year, but it's always been a physical conference, and maybe you can speak on that as well.
Sure, and you're right. Number one, I mean, it's loaded. There's no question. As I watch the games and back in my day, there was no such thing as Iowa being good. And they're just, right. You know, they've got the beast in the middle there. And Luca, you're trying, you know, if you're Archie and you're trying to get your team, you know, to get into a groove, you can't get into a groove in Big Ten play. I mean, there's somebody standing in your way that's saying, hey, no, these games are precious to us too. And so I feel for him. I'm very supportive of Archie and, you know, the whole IU program. I'll just throw this one in too. I also said, hey, you know, you may have missed on Trey, but I put in, you know, a solid word for Cooper. Because I think Toledo got a great player.
Yes.
You know, and I'm telling you, as a guy that graduated from Silver Creek myself at 6'7" and 185 pounds, and 2 years later I was playing at 225. I think they overlooked a jewel, but, you know, that's beside the point. But nonetheless, no, I think that they're just up against a very difficult conference, and once you just lose some confidence, if you just don't, you know, if you don't feel confident in going out and playing hard and playing well and getting some breaks, it can be a real tough thing to scratch out a really good season. And, you know, they still have time. There's no question about it. And all it takes is a one or two victories in a row, but they're tough to come by. So I'm with you. I don't have an answer. I haven't called down and said, hey, have you run the 1-3-1 yet, you know, or whatever. But I am in favor of Trace Jackson Davis having the ball in his hands as much as possible. But other than that, I just don't know what to tell you.
Absolutely. Steve, I believe you're still practicing dentistry. You were a graduate of the Indiana University School of Dentistry, and I think last time we talked, you were still had an office there in Fishers. I'm curious, we talked some about the pandemic and how it affected Silver Creek and, the, you know, just terrible to see. And Floyd Central as well. I want to mention them because they're local to us also. Their season just come to an abrupt end. But how's this thing affected life for you, whether it be at work or your personal life? It's just been a different time.
Yeah, that's interesting. You said I have a practice, but it's dedicated now to snoring and sleep apnea.
Yeah.
And we've renamed it Aurora. And my partner in this is Brian Evans, who played at IU, you know, in the 90s. So we're the 34 twins. We both wore 34. He's always been one of my favorite players, but he's a great business partner that we have. And so we were ready to open up our new business April 1st of last year. So yeah, we got hit in the stomach too with the COVID, because we had to, you know, before we even began, we had to shut down. So we're just now catching our breath and getting some advertising out and getting some people in here. But yeah, that was, I will tell you this, it was the first time in my life that I, you know, I was forced to sit down like so many other people I've talked to too. It's like I had to slow down, and I stayed at home, and when I was able to get out, I got on my bike, and I rode my bike a lot. I, you know, caught up on TV like everybody else, read, but we just weren't able to do anything until really October of last year. That we just, and we're still very carefully going forward, so we just don't know. And but we're trying to tell everybody, hey, sleep is something really valuable, so get in here and we'll help you sleep better. But thanks for asking. It's just one of those things that we're still scratching our head a year later.
Absolutely. Steve Green, former IU player, of course, former Silver Creek standout as well. I promise this, as long as you're willing to do so, it won't take me as long to have you back as what it did after the Silver Creek State Championship. There are so many topics that would love to talk with you about your background and history and get your thoughts on other things. I really appreciate the time once again, and let's do this again real soon if that's okay with you.
Hey, anytime, Matt. I really appreciate being able to talk to my Southern Indiana folks, and that's home, you know. So, hello to everybody down home. I haven't been there in a while because I was waiting to get to a Silver Creek game, but that too will change.
Absolutely, Steve Green, my guest. Steve, enjoy the game tonight, and we'll catch up with you very soon here on the program.
Turn up. Thanks, Matt.
All right, Steve Green, to wrap things up on this Thursday program, lots of fun talking with him, and we will have him back soon. IU Iowa tonight, 9 o'clock. We'll recap it all tomorrow on our Friday program. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.